Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And for almost everybody, it's a good morning because it's been raining and that's bringing lots of smiles. Hope that includes you. Hope you didn't have too many activities planned that had to be canceled because of rain. But for the majority of us, rain has been wonderful. But rain is not what I plan to talk about. Actually, I ran across an article that I've been keeping called Indoor Pollution. Now, we hear often about outdoor pollution, and it may sometimes relate to all of those pollens that are out there. I mean, those are natural kinds of things, but we also put lots of things, we're more apt to hear about outdoor pollution related to manufacturing and to cars and all those kinds of things. But what about indoor pollution? Now, it would probably be more timely to talk about that in the wintertime when we close up our houses, and newer houses are much more closed up than they used to be. Now, you know, we're encouraged to put lots of insulation in, make sure we don't have any air leaks and all those sorts of things for energy conservation. But indoor pollution goes on all the time. It's not as much so in the summertime if, number one, you've closed up the house and you have an air conditioning running, or if you don't have an air conditioner, you probably have some windows open. So ventilation, of course, is really, really important when we're talking about indoor air pollution. And one of the recommendations is to choose products that have low VOCs. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But what about indoor pollution? How many things do you have in your home that cause indoor pollution? Well, some of those, again, we've heard about, and we've done things to get rid of them, or we have that signal that says, be careful. Asbestos. We know that asbestos has lots of problems, and it's caused when old homes are torn down and old buildings are torn down, or even remodeling, that if we find asbestos, certain care has to be given. Radon, and we hear about radon off and on, naturally occurring air pollutant. All of these are not ones that we cause ourselves. And of course, there are tests that you can do in your home to see if you have radon in an amount that would be injurious to your health. Tobacco smoke, do you think of that as an indoor pollutant? Well, it certainly is, and we've been hearing lots about how it's not just the smoker that's affected, but it's everybody else that might be exposed to the smoke. And then there are those other naturally occurring ones, such as mildew, mold, bacteria, dust mites. All of those happen, and again, we have some things. You know, there are vacuum cleaners that help get up the dust mites. We're warned about if there's a mold in the house, you really need to get rid of that because some people are really allergic to it. It is a health problem. And so they vary. We also hear about space heaters, fireplaces, or stoves, and some of those heating kinds of things that can put out carbon monoxide. But there are many others that we choose to use in our homes that perhaps we don't think about, although some of them we are very aware of. And on that list includes like new carpeting. If you've gotten new carpeting in the past, sometimes that odor is just, you can't hardly stand it. Well, that's a volatile organic compound being released. And the best thing, you know, it is good to have carpet. You do have some choices about carpets that have low VOCs. Or be sure that it is something that where there is lots of ventilation during this first time when it's laid. Now, part of that may be in the carpet itself, but the other part may be in the glue or an adhesive that's in there, because many glues and adhesives omit VOCs that are quite dangerous. Rubber cement actually is one of them. Now, most of us don't use rubber cement on a regular basis. We don't get too concerned about it. But it is a good idea if you're going to use it to have, don't do it for hours in an enclosed space. Have some ventilation and, you know, only do it for a short period of time. Another one, I mentioned the carpet, but kind of related to that, upholstered furniture and pressed wood products such as hardwood, plywood, wall paneling, particle board, fiber board, all can emit formaldehyde. Now, formaldehyde, and we'll mention this again, has a very high VOC. So we want to choose, if we can, those products that do not contain formaldehyde. Or again, if you are going to have those, use those, then try to get those that have lower VOCs, or at least be sure that you have good ventilation when you bring those in. I mean, there are choices out there, and sometimes they are more expensive. So you go, well, is it really worth it? Well, that's your choice to make. But if you're going to choose those with the higher VOCs, then be sure that there's lots of ventilation when you first bring them into your home, because they do go away. It's not a forever kind of thing. Some others that you might not have thought about: dry cleaned clothes. Yeah, sometimes it comes into your home in a plastic bag, and that keeps that odor in. You know, if you can, take it, hang it outside for a while. Take the plastic bag off, hang it outside for a little while, so that that all can dissipate. Moth repellents. You know, we've been told now for a number of years that's not a good thing to use in our homes, because again, they give off the odors, and those are those VOCs that can be harmful to us. But here's something that I was not aware of and had not thought about it, and I don't know that there's a whole lot of warnings about it, but almost anything that's an aerosol spray can give off VOCs. That includes room fresheners. We use room fresheners because we want that nice odor. We want to take away other odors, maybe natural or man-made odors. So we get out the air freshener. Well, they can cause a problem. Anything that's an aerosol spray. How about the cooking sprays, the non-stick cooking sprays? You know, it says right on there, do not inhale. What about spray-on deodorants, underarm deodorants? How many? And I guess I'm bringing this up just because, you know, think about how many of those aerosol spray type things do you use? There are lots of cleaners. There are just so many that are in the containers, the metal containers that are aerosol sprays. And you might have a choice to have one that's just like in a spray bottle, which is not nearly as dangerous in terms of the VOCs. Pesticides, another one. Just a whole long list. Paints and strippers. That's probably should be kind of at the high part of your list, because those might be used off and on. And that could include hobby supplies and wood preservatives. So all of those might be something that could be dangerous. So why does it say on the label, be sure to use with ventilation? Hey, that's why. So what is a VOC? Well, it stands for volatile organic compound, and they are organic chemicals that have a high vapor pressure at ordinary room temperature. Remember I mentioned formaldehyde? Formaldehyde has a boiling point of minus 19 degrees centigrade. I mean, that's very volatile. So their high vapor pressure results from a low boiling point, which causes large numbers of molecules to evaporate from the liquid or solid form and enter the surrounding air. Which means if we are breathing in that air, we can be breathing them in. VOCs are outside also. You know, that's how we get the odor of the scents and odors of plants, for instance. But that's out there in the open air. If we're going to smell them, we probably don't do that for more than a couple of seconds. So those VOCs, if you use them inside, you know, you had a whole room full of flowers that were emitting that, probably not healthy for you either. But we don't get concerned about the VOCs outdoors because there is lots of ventilation. What are the health effects of breathing in too many VOCs, or those? It could be a concentrated amount at one point, or it could be a low amount at a longer period of time. Well, eye, nose, and throat irritation, headaches, loss of coordination, and damage to liver, kidney, and central nervous system. Some of those are short-term, but some of them are long-term. So and it's not to be negative about using all those things, but follow the directions. And it just made me kind of think about how many of them do I have in my household? How many of them am I using? So on a less serious note, although it could be, here's something to think about you may have heard about before. As you slide down the banister of life, may the splinters never point the wrong way.